If you have your Bible tonight, we're turning to Mark's Gospel and the 10th chapter. Mark chapter 10, we're going to read from verse 13, just a short passage of Scripture tonight. Mark chapter 10 and verse 13. An incident during the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to follow up on the message I want to bring tonight with a message next Lord's Day evening on the other side of this equation. I've been burdened for some time on the words in Judges chapter 2 in verse 10 that reminds us there arose a generation after Joshua had passed away and the elders who served with him and that generation had passed away. There arose another generation that did not know the Lord. It's a very, very solemn text of Scripture. I want to come to that next Lord's Day evening. But on the eve of our VBS, my mind was turned to this passage and to these verses in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Verse 13. And they brought young children to him, that is unto Christ, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God, as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. We'll finish there at verse 16. We pray the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this evening. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Christ and our children is the theme that I want to draw attention to tonight as we come to the closing part of our service this evening. That's with our Bibles open there. Let's seek the Lord in a further word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for what we have heard tonight already, for the singing of these hymns too, the opportunity to read Thy word, to come, Lord, now in prayer, to seek Thy face and the power of Thy Spirit to be upon us. And we ask as we come to meditate upon Thy word tonight that, Lord, Thou wilt minister to our hearts. We thank Thee for this aspect of our Savior's earthly ministry. We thank Thee for His love, His interest, His care, His blessing upon children. And we pray, Lord, that we might know something of that in the week to come, that Thou would bless the children who are brought into this house to hear of Christ the Good Shepherd. Abide with us to that end. Fill me, Lord, with Thy Spirit. Give help in the preaching. Give help in the hearing. Challenge boys and girls tonight. Save them by Thy grace. Challenge the older part of the congregation too. Lord, challenge all our hearts. We pray tonight that a work might be wrought for Thy glory and for Thy honor. Abide with us now, we pray. We ask these things in our Savior's name and for His sake. Amen. How far a nation has departed from God is often seen in its attitude towards and its approach to little children. In days of spiritual apostasy in the Old Testament, when the nation of Israel had drifted far from God, it was not an uncommon thing for kings to offer up their sons as sacrifices to false gods. The grim record of the reign of Ahaz includes the details that he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father, but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire according to the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. I want you to see what is happening there. Ahaz, the king, was following the customs of the heathen. He had adopted their idolatry. He was very content to live with little or no knowledge of the true God. He was very careless, thoughtless when it came to worship and living according to God's word. He didn't care much for right or wrong. And in that state of spiritual apostasy, he placed no real value on the life of his son. Happily, it seems, he sacrificed him to the false gods of the heathen as part of a pagan ritual. You find this man, this king, following what was at that time a common practice. Children were expendable. They were viewed as mere objects. Didn't really count for very much, and they were treated according to the ways of the world. In Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6, the prophet speaks of a time that would come. He's talking now about the time under John the Baptist's ministry. But a time would come when fathers would be turned towards their children and children would be turned towards their fathers. The inference of those words in Malachi 4 verse 6 is that there was a time when that was not the case. During dark spiritual days, family relationships had broken down. There was not the love, there was not the bond, there was not the care, there was not the friendship that there ought to have been between a father and his children. The father's heart was in a different direction. He was far from God, and as a result of that declension, that departure, his family suffered. And very often the two things go hand in hand. Where the word of God is abandoned and the ways of the world are adopted, when false preachers fill the hearts and minds of people with a false message, and the gospel is changed, or the gospel is compromised, and spiritual truth is ignored and forgotten, invariably children suffer. The two often go hand in hand. And the evidence of such a connection is all around us in this generation. We live in a society that is increasingly reaping the fruits of apostasy that's having an impact upon our children. And I think there are two particular sides to this. On one hand, certain children are despised by their parents. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 127 that children are a gift from God, a gift to be cherished, cared for, and as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, children are to be directed towards the Lord. They are a blessing. They are precious little lives, and they have an immortal soul. And they have been given to us by God that we might bring them up in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord. We must never lose sight of that, that children are a heritage from the Lord. That is how we are to view them. Yet we have reached a point in this society and in this age where that heritage is being despised and hated. Little ones are often viewed as a burden and not a blessing at all. They are looked upon as being worthless instead of being priceless, disposable, inconvenient, unwanted, unappreciated, unloved, and uncared for. So much so that millions of them are murdered before they are born. The abortion industry in this country that sees 3,000 children a day deliberately put to death is a shameful, wicked blight on a supposedly civilized society. There is nothing civilized about ending the life of an unborn child on the basis of a woman's right or because of a pro-choice agenda. The shedding of innocent blood in this way is a wicked evil. But it's not the only way children are despised. Isn't that dreadful and shocking scandal that so many who are safely born are abandoned, neglected, uncared for, maltreated, or abused, and sometimes in the most horrendous ways? And then add into that also the fact that some think nothing of filling young minds with corruption and sin. Children and teenagers are exposed to so much wickedness. Some of it comes in the guise of entertainment. Some of it is so freely accessible on the internet. Some of it comes through the music that they're listening to. Some of it is found in the magazines and books that they're reading. Some of it comes directly from parents and siblings and grandparents. But it comes against them, and they are placed in this environment of sin and corruption. They're placed in the greatest possible danger by a world that has little or no interest in their spiritual well-being. And when I see that, I see children who are despised. The heritage of the Lord being counted for so little. On the other hand, certain children are idolized. Their parents treat them as little gods. Make little idols out of them. They set them upon a pedestal. Those children dictate the home. They control their parents. They are untouchable. There is no direction. There is no correction. There is no restraint. There is nothing. There is no sense of proper order in their homes. They're allowed to have their own way on every issue under the guise of love. But it's not an unloving thing to give children a life without restraint. Both those situations are wrong and so contrary to the word of God, and neither of them are good for our children. But this is the norm in our day and generation. It's the norm in the society that we live in, the sweeping disregard for God and His Word, the spiritual departure, the spiritual declension that's taking place, the departure from the standards of God's Word. It's having a devastating impact upon the children of our generation. And all of that should strike our hearts. All of that should make the child of God to be concerned. For the past several weeks, and more especially in recent days, this congregation has been praying about our annual vacation Bible school. The focus of this effort is to reach boys and girls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not to entertain them for 3 hours each morning of this coming week. It is not so parents can have a break and drop their children off and go for coffee or go shopping and then pick them back up again, and we simply take care of them. We don't have a VBS just simply to fill up our summer months with activities. Our aim in having a VBS is much more noble than that. Our desire is to see lives transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's our desire to see little ones come to the Savior. It's our desire to teach them the vital truths of salvation, that they are sinners, unable to save themselves, but Christ has come to save sinners from their sin, and that Christ is able by His grace and power to cleanse them from their sin and save them. Our theme is the Good Shepherd. We want to tell them of the Good Shepherd who loved them and gave Himself for them. When I come into Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16, I discover Christ the Good Shepherd and children coming together. These verses paint a wonderful picture. A wonderful picture, and present us with incredible instruction and also incredible encouragement regarding this rising generation. I mentioned that next Lord's Day I want to speak on the theme, a generation arose that did not know the Lord. That's a fearful thing. And may we pray that that might not be said of the rising generation among us. So tonight I want to look at this simple passage of Scripture. Simple yet profound, that speaks of Christ and the children. I have two simple, very easy thoughts tonight to follow, and I trust the Lord will bless these thoughts to our hearts. First of all, let's notice something about the bringing of the children to Christ. The bringing of the children to Christ. Verse 13 opens with an action that impacts the rest of this passage. When we're told here that they brought young children to Jesus, we are to surely understand that this was a deliberate action. The word brought there comes from two words that mean to carry forward. And therefore the thought of the verse is that these children were intentionally carried to the Savior. This was not an accidental meeting. This was not something that just happened in the course of the events of that day. This was not just something that came to pass. This was a deliberate intent on the part of these adults to bring the children to Christ. Clearly, our Savior was at hand that day, and they seized the opportunity, the passing time limited opportunity, to bring their children to the Savior. I think that statement alone, that they brought young children to Jesus, is a striking statement. It's a striking verse of Scripture. And I want you to think of it very carefully tonight. These children were brought to Christ with a desire that He would bless them. With a desire that He would bless them. These words reveal something, surely, of the burden or the concern or the priority that these parents had for their children. Mark tells us that they brought them to Christ that He might touch them. In Matthew's account, we're told that they brought Him little children that He would put His hands on them and pray. That Christ would pray for them. Now picture that scene. Here are parents bringing their children, and they want Christ to pray for them, and they want Christ to bless them. They recognize the importance of Christ interceding for their little ones. They wanted Christ to remember them before His Father. They wanted them to know the Lord's grace upon their lives. They wanted His blessing to rest upon their sons and their daughters, upon their little children. I have no doubt that those parents had many hopes and aspirations for their children, but there was none as important as this one. They brought them to Christ. They brought them to Christ because only Christ could bless them in this way, and His blessing was all important in their lives. And that is something every parent must realize. We have many desires for our children. We want them to do well in life. We would like them to be healthy. We want them to have some kind of education and gain some kind of meaningful and suitable employment when that time comes. We want them to keep good company and maybe marry and settle down and have children of their own. We want them to succeed in whatever they do. We want to see them being useful and helpful to others in society. We want those things for them, and it's good and proper that we should. But surely the greatest desire we have is that they would know the blessing of Jesus Christ upon their lives. That He would be their high priest and pray for them. That He would be their Savior. That they would know the power of the prayers of Jesus Christ on their behalf. That they would walk with God. That they would know Christ and live for Him and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Surely it is our desire that if our children are poor in health, they would be well in soul. Surely it is our desire that if they're poor in regard to wealth, they would be rich towards God and have faith in Jesus Christ. Surely it's our desire that if they are unable to climb the social ladder very high, that they would soar into the heavens and be strong in the Lord. Surely it's our desire that if they face trials and troubles in life, they would face them resting upon Christ, knowing that He does all things well. That they would grow up knowing the blessing of God upon them. I understand the challenge that presents tonight, because we live in a world that puts so much emphasis upon outward, temporal, and mundane things that we too can begin to think that those are the most important things in life. Parent, they are not. They are not. The most important thing in life and the most important thing in the lives of our children is that they have the touch of the Master's hand, the blessing of God upon their lives, and they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the most important thing. Infinitely more important that they would have the blessing of Jesus Christ. Notice also from these verses that these children were brought to Christ despite the hindrances they faced. Incredible as it seems, the disciples rebuked these parents. The word rebuke there means to censure or to admonish. It's almost unbelievable when you read that in the verse that the disciples of Christ, the men who had been called to become fishers of men, men who had walked with the Savior from the commencement of His earthly ministry to this point, the men who had witnessed the miracles and listened to the parables and watched Christ deal with people, those very same men censured or admonished these people who were bringing their little ones to the Savior. They rebuked them. No reason is given for that. It may be that they thought Christ was too busy and they were protecting Him and protecting His time. It may be they thought that Christ would not be interested in these children. After all, there were other ones who surely wanted to speak to the Savior at the same time. Or maybe they thought it was just an inconvenient time and it wasn't a suitable time for Christ to deal with this intrusion, this interruption into His timetable. Whatever the reason, they rebuked those who brought their children to Christ. The disciples were wrong. And they displeased the Savior. And very significantly, they did not succeed in preventing the children being brought to Christ. The parents were encouraged by the words of the Savior, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not." And they were encouraged with that statement from the Savior. They persevered and brought them to Him. What's the lesson here? As we strive to bring our children to Christ, we will face opposition. There will be obstacles, there will be hindrances, and sometimes it will come from those who profess to know Christ. The world will oppose us in this endeavor, let's be sure of that. The devil does not want our children to be blessed by the Lord. The devil does not want our children to know Christ as their Savior. The world will oppose us. They will think we are fanatics. The world will say, let your children alone. Let them grow up and make up their own mind. Let them decide for themselves when they are older. And the world would drive our children from the Savior. And sometimes ill-thinking believers will hinder us too. Christians sometimes can be the greatest hindrance in children coming to Christ. An inconsistent Christian life. Careless approach to the gospel, a critical spirit, a harsh, unloving approach to home life and parenting, a lack of attention to genuine spiritual concerns, it can all act as an obstruction. It's the disciples who rebuke these parents. Incredible. Notice also these children were brought to Christ while they were young. Verse 13 makes that point clearly. They were young children or little children, most likely carried to the Savior, just infants, just starting out in life, just beginning, but brought to the Savior. It's never too early to desire to bring our children to Christ. J.C. Ryle said this, let us begin from their very earliest years to deal with them as having souls to be lost or saved and strive to bring them to Christ. Let us make them acquainted with the Bible as soon as they can understand anything. Let us pray with them and pray for them and teach them to pray for themselves. We cannot begin too early. These children were brought to the Savior while they were young, while they were little children. Carried forward to the Lord. Let us do everything we can with little children to bring them to Christ. Let me say too that these children were brought to Christ unashamedly. Others were not coming to Christ at this time. The scribes and Pharisees of that day despised the Savior. They rejected Christ. The religious leaders of that hour, that time, had little time for the Savior. But that didn't stop these parents bringing their children to the Savior. The world has no interest in introducing our children to the things of God. It's happier teaching our children to sin. Let us not be ashamed of our efforts to bring them to Christ. Let's not be ashamed of our prayers for little ones to know the Savior. Let's not be ashamed of all the labors we enter into, we engage in, to win souls to the Lord. Let's not be ashamed of that. Here are precious souls that need the blessing of the Lord. Are there not huge lessons for us to learn from this verse? They brought young children to Him. Surely we are concerned enough and we value our children enough to be concerned for their souls. That concern should be very deep considering the depth of sin that abounds in their hearts and in society too. Let's strive to bring our children to Christ. You say, how? How do we do that? Read the scriptures to them. Read the scriptures to them. Take time with them around the family altar. Many a home exists without a family altar. Some have existed a long time in the broad Church of Jesus Christ without a family altar, and fathers don't know how to begin a family altar, and they feel guilty. I trust tonight, if you don't have a family altar, you'll start one. Take up the Scriptures. Read a passage of Scripture. That's all you do. Read a passage of Scripture. Gather your family and pray with them. Pray for them. If you can, sing a hymn. Read a comment from a devotional book that's sound and faithful to the Lord's Word. Introduce your children to the Scriptures. Be faithful in your attendance at the house of God, the means of grace, where they can hear the Word. Have them in Sunday school. Have them under the sound of the Gospel. Memorize Scripture. Encourage them to memorize the Word of God. Take every opportunity in the daily course of life to bring the Gospel to them. Take current events as suitable for their age and teach them from those things. As you're driving, you see something, you can make Gospel application of that incident that's just happening right before your eyes and make Gospel application from it. And pray for them. Pray for your children. And pray for the children that will be here this week. That if nothing else, we bring them to Christ in our prayers. The bringing of the children to Christ. I said I had 2 points tonight. The second flows from that. Note from the text also the blessing of the children by Christ. The blessing of the children by Christ. Christ did not respond to these parents and their children as his disciples had responded. In fact, he was much displeased with his disciples, and that word means he was moved with indignation. The actions of the disciples in driving these parents back or rebuking them grieved the Savior. It grieved him, and he immediately intervened in the situation and said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me. Let them come. Let them come. Do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of heaven." Then note verse 16. He took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Verse 16 is a tremendous text. Picture the scene. These parents have come with their children, carrying them in their arms to Christ. The disciples, it's almost as if they move in between the parents and the Savior, and they're trying to rebuke these parents and send them away. And Christ said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and don't forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And then he takes them up in his arms and he puts his hands upon them and he blesses them. You just take verse 16 and notice what it says. Christ took the children up in his arms. The words mean he embraced them. He literally enarmed them, wrapped them in his arms. He therefore drew them to himself. He held them in his arms. What a tender picture of the tender Savior that presents to us. Christ did not turn those children away. He did not keep them at arm's length. Rather, he embraced them. He enarmed them. He brought them to himself in the gracious arms of his love. And I want you to think of that for a moment. There was no safer place for those children to be than in the arms of Christ. Here was the incarnate Son of God, the great Creator and Sovereign God of this world, the Savior of sinners, the glorious Son of the Highest, the God-man carrying little children, wrapping them up in his arms. Doesn't it remind you of the words of Isaiah the prophet, chapter 40, verse 11? He said, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Here is Christ, the shepherd, carrying the lambs in his arm. Does it not speak of safety and security? Does it not speak of comfort and peace? Does it not speak of power and grace? Here were little children dependent upon Christ, and Christ was not going to fail them. There's no greater place for our children to be than to be taken up by Christ through the Spirit's work in granting salvation, and for them to be embraced in the arms of the Savior. He took them up in his arms. The verse tells us too, he put his hands upon them. He put his hands upon them. Sometime earlier in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 5 and verse 23, Christ had been asked by Jairus to come and lay his hands upon his 12-year-old daughter. And when he did, she was raised to life. And now Christ is putting those very same hands upon these little children. And that act of putting his hands upon the children was a symbol of favor and ownership and adoption into the family. Back in Genesis 48 and verse 5, Jacob is an old man. Joseph brings his sons to him. And Jacob puts his hands upon the sons of Joseph and he acknowledges them to be his own. A striking day for Joseph to watch his father put his hands upon his boys. The hands of Jacob meant something to Joseph. How much more the hands of Jesus Christ. There's a relationship in focus here. An adoptive relationship. And isn't that what we desire for our children? That they might be adopted into God's family and counted among God's children. Don't we want them to know his favor? Don't we want them to know his hands upon them? Those hands that were nailed to the cross. Those hands that would be wounded and pierced for sinners. Those hands that Christ held up before he ascended back to glory and gave a priestly blessing to his people. Those are the hands we want upon our children. The touch of the Master's hand upon them. Verse 16 tells us he blessed them as well. Took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. He who has authority to bless whomsoever he will, bless these children. The great Creator. The one who could raise the dead to life. The one who could give the blind back their sight. The one who could take the lame person and make them walk. The one who could take the deaf and make them hear. The same Christ put his blessing upon these children. He favored them. He didn't curse them. He blessed them. He conferred divine benefits upon them. This was the Lord of glory. This was the Lord of glory, and these children received his blessing. The children were brought to Christ, and Christ did for them what no one else could do. He blessed them with his grace. J.C. Ryle said, J.C. Ryle had a tremendous love for children. Tremendous love for children. He had suffered many tragedies in his life. His first wife died. His second wife died as well. And then he married a third wife. A great love for children. And this is what he said, the Lord Jesus cares tenderly for the souls of little children. It is probable that Satan specially hates them. It is certain that Jesus specially loves them. Young as they are not beneath his thoughts and attention. That mighty heart of his has room for the babe in its cradle as well as for the king on his throne. Jesus saves. He takes up little ones in his arms. He puts his hand upon them and he blesses them. This is the same Christ. This is the same Christ who raised the widow of Nain's son to life. This is the same Christ who healed the boy who was full of demons. This is the same Christ who ministered to the lad who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This is the same Christ who died on the cross to save perishing souls. He is the good shepherd who has come to seek and to save that which is lost, the sheep that has gone astray. Let us do everything we can to present a full Christ to needy souls. They brought them, and he blessed them. And may that be our experience this week. Parents, let me encourage you to keep praying for your children. Even if your children are up and out of home, then pray for your grandchildren. If you have no children, the Lord has given you an influence over many other children, perhaps. Pray for them. Pray for the 180 children who are registered to come in here tomorrow. Pray the Lord would save them. And let us endeavor to do all we can to present Christ to them as Christ gives us opportunity. You children who are here tonight, this verse presents a tender Savior, a loving, loving Christ. And I pray tonight that you, as young as you are, you boys and girls, would realize your need of Jesus Christ. There's no one you need more than Jesus Christ. What will your life be without him? A life of sin, rebellion. Just as Caleb was talking about in his testimony, a life of going against God and against God's word, a life of regret, a life of emptiness. Then come to the end of that life and come to death and stand before God without a Savior, to be judged for your sin and lost forever. Boys and girls, you need the blessing of Jesus Christ to know him. To know him as your Savior. And I pray tonight, if you've never trusted Christ, you've never trusted him as your Savior, tonight you would. You'd come to Christ and be saved. You'll find in him a glorious Savior. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. One who will never let you down. One who will deal with all your sin, all your guilt. And one who will bring you home to glory and give you grace to live for him until he brings you home to glory. He is a wonderful Savior. The Good Shepherd. He takes up children, puts his hand upon them, and blesses them. May you know the salvation that Christ alone can give. The Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight for Jesus' sake. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence here. We pray, Lord, you'll take your word and you'll bless it to hearts. Help us by our prayers to bring little ones to Christ. Help us by our works and our efforts, Lord, to introduce them to the Savior and to the great truths of the gospel. Help us to bring them despite all the hindrances and obstacles that we face, all the discouragements sometimes that come. While others are despising Christ, help us to be determined to win souls to Christ. And Lord, we pray this week that we might have the joy of seeing souls, little boys and girls, blessed by the Savior. Take them up, put your hand upon them, give them faith, give them repentance, and save them, Lord, we pray. Continue with us tonight and in the week to come. Grant grace as we go downtown for outreach and seek to win older people to the Lord as well. Lord, give us favor with God and favor with men. We pray that thy blessing would rest upon us. Part us now in thy fear and with thy favor. We pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would remain and abide and continue with all his blood-bought people, now and forevermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.